Yes, we are the church gathered together today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I think we can all agree that this is probably the weirdest Easter we've ever celebrated, and yet that does not change the essence of why we're here. The word Easter is a really old, peculiar word. Linguists will tell you, no one's really sure of the origin of the word Easter. There are several theories, one of which is the word Easter comes from the word east. Now, not in specific reference to the direction east, but to the rising of the sun or the dawn, which takes place in the east, which I think is incredibly appropriate as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. I actually love the dawn. I love mornings. It's one of my favorite times of the day. It's a reminder that a new day has dawned filled with opportunity. And yet, each day, from the moment I awaken, I am bombarded. I am ambushed with voices. We all hear voices, every single one of us. I'm not suggesting that we're all schizophrenic, but we do hear voices, voices that influence us, voices that guide us, and sometimes voices that hold us back from becoming all that we were created to be. We live with a constant stream of messages. You turn on the television or the radio, you log into the internet, you open a book or read the news. Voices. Some of us hear voices from the past. Some of us hear voices of our culture. We hear the voices of guilt and doubt. We hear the voices of the critic, the voices of our parents, our family, our friends. We hear the voices of the leaders around us, and we also hear the voice, well, of ourselves. And competing amongst all of that noise is the voice that matters most. The voice of God. So whose voice is loudest in your life? Whose voice is the loudest in my life? I am what some psychologists call an overly agreeable person. That is both a blessing and a curse. Now the blessing is I can see many sides of an argument. I can see both sides of things, which makes me a terrible debater. And yet at the same time, it allows me to be incredibly empathetic. The curse is it can be on occasion hard to make a decision, and it's a personality trait that's very easy to take advantage of. There is a well-meaning phrase that people occasionally use when they're trying to help me make a decision, and the phrase is this: well, Mike, if I were you, then I would do this. To be honest, I hate that phrase. I hate that phrase because I want to say, that's fine, but you're not me. Person in my life that had a lot of influence over me. And when they wanted their way, they would say to me, well, Mike, if I were you, then I would, as a subtle way to turn things in their favor. Now, eventually, I caught on that they were using it as a form of manipulation, and manipulation can be a really, really loud voice. See, the loudest voice is the one that gets the most attention. There's a teacher who lives in Northern Ireland. She holds the Guinness Book of World Record for the loudest shout. Her shout was recorded at 121 decibels, or the equivalent of a jet engine. But today, we're not talking about volume. We're talking about influence. We're talking about inspiration. We're talking about guidance, because the voices that you listen to are the ones that shape who you're becoming. And you control the volume. This Easter weekend, I want us to turn up the volume on the voice of the resurrection, the voice of the resurrected Jesus, because it's speaking. There are a few scenes in the Gospels in which we hear Jesus' voice loudly and influential in such a way that it has the potential to change the trajectory of our life. He, in the final days and the final hours of his life, Jesus utters three words, three phrases that I want us to consider for the next few moments. Now, remember that the Bible that you hold in your hand, the New Testament, was originally written in the Greek language. What you have is an English translation. So I want to begin with the phrases that Jesus used as they would have been recorded. The first phrase is the word teletestai. The second is the word arene. And the third is the word meta. We're going to look at these three words, these three phrases, these three words that Jesus used that can become loud and influential in our life. But we've got to go back to the story of the resurrection as recorded in Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and he sat on it. Like, I love that part of it. If I were an angel and I just rolled back a stone, I'd sit on that thing like, yeah, what now? Come on. Verse 3, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They quite literally became catatonic. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going on ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried off from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell his disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This story, as recorded in Matthew's gospel, is one of truth and one of relevance. The truth is that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was no longer there. The relevance is that he is risen from the dead, and that changes everything within human existence. See, the story of the resurrection, it does not simply provide us something to believe, but a better way to live as a human, created in God's image and in God's likeness. This story is the foundational hope of the Christian message. You take away the resurrection, and what you're left with is, well, nothing, but maybe a few good teachings and a nice story. For the next few moments, I want you to hear, I want us to step into the voice of the resurrected Jesus. Now, to do that, we've got to go back to the cross. Now, I realize this is Easter, this is about resurrection, the cross was on Good Friday, but to truly understand the voice of the resurrection, we've got to go back to the crucifixion. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, 19, verse 30, we read that when Jesus received a drink, he then said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That's the first word. That's the first phrase. That phrase, "it is finished," is teletestai. It means completion of a task, but so much more than that. Jesus was not just checking off a box on his to-do list. Something shifted in the cosmos. Something eternal had just taken place. This one word that Jesus utters changes human history and human destiny. It is a word that has echoed through time. See, in the Greek language, it's one word. It's not a phrase. And so as Jesus utters that word, that phrase, "it is finished," we go all the way back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, in which God completes the work of creation and looks out and says, It is very good. Another way of saying, it is finished. And when Jesus completed his work, he said, it is finished, which is also another way of saying, it is good. See, when Jesus said those words, he was not saying it was over, but what he was saying is goodness and grace have been restored. A lot of my religious life has been one of striving, of earning, that if I do the right things, if I behave the right way, then God will like me, then God will love me. And yet the voice of the resurrection says, no. It's finished. It's done. Charles Spurgeon, the great pastor of the 1800s, once said, the general religion of mankind is to do, do, do. But the religion, the true religion of Christianity is, it's done. It's finished. When those voices are loud and screaming at you saying you're not good enough, you've not done enough, you've not attained enough, hear the voice of the resurrected Jesus as he says, it is finished. And he speaks not as a judge, but as a father. Now I'm a father. There is nothing that my children can do to earn my love, and there is nothing my children can do to lose my love. They have it fully and completely because of who they are. They're my children. Now, they can frustrate me. They can make me angry. I often hear an argument against Christianity, which goes something like this. How can God be a God of love and a God of anger and wrath at the same time? Listen, God's a father. I'm a father. Come to my house when my kids start getting crazy, and I can show you love and wrath happening at the very same time. It is possible. See, the voice of the resurrection says, it is finished. It does not matter. You cannot lose the love of God. It's been completed. The voice of resurrection says, it is finished. And we follow that voice from the cross to the empty tomb, to his appearance to the disciples. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Jesus didn't say hi. He didn't say, hey, what's up? He didn't say, hey, what's going on? Surprise, I'm back. No. Jesus was always intentional with his words. Peace be with you. That word peace is the word eirene. It's a robust word. It's a rich word. It's a thick word. To the disciples, they were locked up because they were afraid. The locked doors were a form of protection. They had the doors locked, deadbolt, chair against the door, dresser. They were blocking everything because they had just watched their leader beaten and crucified. And I'm sure they were thinking, well, I suppose now they're going to come for us. They lived with fear. For 6 months, I lived in the inner city of Chicago, and for 2 years, I lived in the inner city of Los Angeles. Our doors were always locked because people can get crazy sometimes. When I lived in Chicago, I parked the church van of the church that I worked at in front of a guy's house that was next to the church. Now, there was an orange cone in the road. I think he was trying. The church, and when I came back out, the windows of my van had been shot out. People do crazy things sometimes. So all the doors are locked. I still lock all my doors. I even lock the door that goes from my garage into my house when the garage door is closed. And sometimes my wife or my kids will walk out and they'll close it not knowing, and they'll come back and they're locked out and they say, why do you always lock this door? And I'm like, man, because this is a rough neighborhood. You got to be careful in case, you know, something happens. When Jesus spoke the word eirene, when he spoke peace, what Jesus was saying is, I am replacing fear with wholeness. I am replacing fear with goodness, Irene has a similar root to the word shalom, which is a robust word for well-being, peace, goodness, and grace. The disciples, they were still listening to the voice of fear. It was shouting at them. Some of you are still being influenced by the voice of fear. It is the loudest voice in your life. I want you for just a moment to picture that source of fear. What is it? Is it the fear of the unknown? For some of us, our motto is, what if? What if this happens? Or what if that happens? Others of us, we feel failure. Some of us fear rejection. Some of us are afraid because we're watching our 401ks go in the wrong direction. I logged on to my account last week. That was a really bad decision. Maybe for you, your fear is a person. Jesus wants to speak into that fear. And what he's saying is, peace be with you. For others of us, the loudest voice is one of anger. You're angry because you don't know why it happened. You don't know how things are going to turn out. You don't understand why things did not go as you planned. Or maybe you're angry because they left. Jesus wants to speak into that anger. And what he says is, peace be with you. Experiencing peace means listening to a different voice. When Jesus said peace, he was not promising convenience or ease. He wasn't promising we get our preference or even get our way. Because I can't imagine that Jesus' preference was to be crucified on the cross. Matter of fact, I know it wasn't his preference because Luke records in his gospel, chapter 22, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. In other words, if there's another way, I'd prefer another way, but not my will, but yours. And then in Luke 22, verse 44, two verses later, Jesus is praying and he's in anguish and he prays more earnestly and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now I wonder, how is that possible? So I went to one of my favorite websites, WebMD, and I looked this up, and there's a rare but real condition called hematidrosis, which is a thing that happens when you're so stressed that the vessels rupture under intense pressure and you start to sweat drops of blood. Jesus was in a stressful, agonizing position, and yet he comes out on the other side speaking peace. Listen, it is impossible to experience peace when you're always expecting perfection. Because if my peace comes from what did or did not happen, if my peace comes from what people do or don't do, or what I have or don't have, then those things also have the power to take it away. And yet the voice of the resurrection eclipses all of those things, because the voices that we listen to shape who we become. We come right to the end, right before Jesus ascends. He's appeared to his disciples. We hear one more voice. Matthew chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. That word with, it's the word meta. It means, I am with you, I am among you, I am behind you, I am beneath you, I am beyond you, I am before you, I am after you, I am above you, I am below you, I am with you always. I'm with you in your joy, I'm with you in your doubts and fears, I'm with you when you're a new parent, I'm with you when you walk through that painful breakup, I'm with you when you start your dream job. I'm with you when they die. I'm with you in the questions. I'm with you in the frustration. I'm with you when everything is going fantastic, and I'm with you when everything is falling apart. I am with you. We live in a world filled with so many voices. In the coming weeks, we're going to explore some of these voices, because the voices that you listen to shape who you become. So this Easter, would you hear the voice of resurrection? The voice that says, it is finished. The voice that says, peace be with you. And the voice that says, I am with you always. Gracious God, I stand in awe of the resurrection, that you would give your life for us, but then you rose, proving yourself to be who you claimed to be. Would you help us, would you help me to hear the voice of the resurrection? May it be the loudest voice in our life. May we come to know it, may we come to hear it. May we relish in it and enjoy it. With grateful hearts, O God, we come together in your name. Amen. As we wrap up our time together, if you are on our website, northbrookchurch.org, you can scroll to the bottom. There is a connection card there. At Northbrook Church, we believe in connecting, and this is one way that we can stay connected with you. If you'd fill that out, if you're new to Northbrook, if this is your first time joining us for a service, we'd love for you to indicate that on the card. There's also a place for prayer requests that you can fill out. We are going to now continue in our time of worship through giving. I want to thank you for your incredible generosity to Northbrook. I've just been amazed at what you've been able to do. You can give to Northbrook three ways. You can give online at northbrookchurch.org/giving or click on the giving tab. You can give via text by texting NBC and any amount to 73256, or you can write a check, place it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, put it in the mail, and mail it to us. We are checking our mail every day. So thank you in advance for your incredible, incredible generosity. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a very happy Easter. Now as you go, would you go in the grace, in the peace, and the hope of the resurrected Jesus? Amen.